Continue our time in worship through opening up God's Word. Vamos a continuar con abrir la palabra de Dios. And today we're actually continuing in our summer rhythm, where we're actually changing the pace throughout June, July, and August. Estamos haciendo algo un poco diferente durante el verano, where we go beyond listening and responding to the Word of God together as a community, but instead we go a step further where we actually engage the Word of God and where we sharpen one another through God's Word. Vamos a ir más profundamente en la Palabra de Dios, en estudiando la Palabra de Dios durante el verano. We're continuing this sermon series on the book of Psalms, and where I give just a brief introduction and share some words on the book of Psalms. This will be our focus throughout the month of June. In fact, today we're going to be reading Psalm chapter 8. Hoy vamos a estar leyendo Salmo capítulo 8. So it's going to be a time for us to reflect together, to really open up the scripture and to learn together. What is God sharing with us and how can we encourage one another with God's word? Vamos a poder bendecirnos unos a otros con la palabra de Dios. And really, the end goal in mind with us doing this and changing up the pace a little bit throughout the summer is really what I call the pattern of I do, you do, we do. So every single week, you see me as your pastor share a bit about the Word of God. But what I want to encourage us and teach us to do together is really, this is an exercise for you to know that you can do this. You can open up the Word of God and you can ask yourself, what is God saying to me through this precious Word? And you can encourage and bless your neighbor. You can bless your family member through God's Word as well. Together, we can do this. Juntos podemos hacer esto. Juntos podemos abrir las Escrituras y bendecirnos con la Palabra de Dios. So again, that's the pattern we're looking at throughout the month of June. I do, you do, and we do together. We can meditate on the Word of God, and we can sharpen one another, encourage each other, and build each other up. Podemos hacer cosas grandes y maravillosas cuando nos bendecimos por medio de la Palabra de Dios. Then each week, during the month of June, we're going to have a special song or a special poem that is going to take place during this time in the message. Then we're going to pray together and end in worship like we do every single week. So that's a bit of the plan of this month as we're diving into the Psalms together. Ese es el plan durante este mes de junio cuando estamos estudiando los Salmos en la Biblia. So let's pray together so that God opens up our hearts and minds to what He may say to us this morning. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord God, we thank You and we give You praise for Your precious, precious Word. Te damos gracias, Señor, por Tu Palabra preciosa y bendita. And Lord, we just pray that today You would speak to us in a way that is direct and in a way that is clear. Lord, would we not just read the Psalms, but may we pray the Psalms and live the Psalms. Ayúdanos, Dios Santo, a orar los Salmos y también vivir los Salmos, Dios Santo. Lord, we trust in You. And we pray that You would continue to grow us and develop us and use us for Your purposes. Úsanos, Dios Santo, por tus propósitos. Minister to us today, God. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. So as we talked a little bit last week, in order to understand the Psalms, we need to understand a little bit about what the Bible is and what the Word of God is. Para entender los Salmos, necesitamos entender qué es la Biblia. And just a little bit of a review and recap from what we talked about last week. The Word of God reveals the God of the Word. La Palabra de Dios nos enseña el Dios de la Palabra, el Dios de la Biblia. We don't only read the Bible to mark precious promises, although there are many, many promises that are found in the Bible. And we don't only read the Bible to understand biblical doctrine or to get more information. Although doctrine is essential and the Bible is full of information. But the primary purpose that we read and gather around the Bible is this. We read the Bible to get to know the heart and the mind of God. Leemos la Biblia para conocer el corazón de Dios. Because the better that we know God, then the better that we can enjoy God. And the better that we can enjoy God, the better that we can serve God. One of my favorite authors by the name of Warren Wiersbe said that. And last week we also talked a bit about how the Bible is written. And the Bible is written in a very different way than most books that we're familiar with today. The Bible is not just an instructional manual or a history book or a type of book that we may be familiar with today. But the Bible was written in a very particular style. La Biblia está escrita en un estilo bien particular. The Bible was written in what is called Jewish meditative literature. And again, the end goal of ancient Jewish meditative literature is closeness to God. Closeness to God through faith and through trust. So the end goal in the way the Bible was written is not just information or inspiration, but it is closeness to God. And that closeness to God is what leads to transformation. So the point of the Bible is that exactly. Not just information, not just inspiration, but transformation. El propósito de la Biblia es transformación por medio de la palabra de Dios. The Bible is the written word of God that serves as a link between us and God. As we meditate on this word, God transforms us and makes us new. Through this word, through this living and active word, God gives us new hearts, He gives us new minds, and He gives us new thoughts. Dios nos transforma por medio del poder de su palabra. So really, ultimately, what the Bible does when we reflect on it, when we focus on it, it really does renew us and refocus our thinking. And that's what we said meditation is. Meditation is refocused thinking. And we meditate on the Scriptures in order to refocus our thinking because our refocused thinking leads to renewed living. And renewed living leads to transformation. Nueva vida nos lleva a la transformación. So that's exactly what we were encouraged to do last week. To remember that meditation just means refocused thinking. And refocused thinking leads to renewed living. And today, the invitation that the Psalms give us is to pray the Psalms and to live the Psalms. Hoy vamos a aprender cómo orar por medio de los salmos y también vivir los salmos que encontramos en la Biblia. So, the scripture that we're going to be in today is Psalm chapter 8. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. Vamos a estar juntos en Salmo capítulo 8. Si tienen sus Biblias, los pueden abrir. Va a estar en inglés atrás, pero pueden seguir en sus Biblias en español. So we're going to read Psalm chapter 8 together as a community. But one thing we've been doing every single week is we've actually been looking at an introduction video to the Psalms. And we're doing this throughout the month of June. And today we're going to see part two of the video that we saw last week. And so if we can get that video queued up, we've at 2:50, just pause for a second. Yeah, and this is going to help us understand Psalm 2, but also a little bit more about the main author of the Psalms. So let's go ahead and start that.
God made a promise.
Oh, right, a future human, the seed of the woman who would come and defeat evil and restore the world.
And that's what Psalm 2 is about. God's promise that a king would come from the line of David. He's called the Son of God and the Messiah. God appoints him to bring justice on human evil and to restore God's kingdom and peace over the nations.
So Psalms 1 and 2 introduce all these main themes.
Yes. And then the book develops those themes through the five sections. The first two explore the complicated story of David and his royal family. The third section focuses on the tragedy of Israel's exile and the downfall of David's royal line. But then the fourth and fifth sections rekindle the hope for the Messiah, a new temple, and God's kingdom on the other side of the exile. Then the book ends with a five-part conclusion, praising God for his faithfulness.
Cool. Now, nearly half of the Psalms are connected to one guy, King David, who God chose to rule Israel.
Yes, David's story is really important in this book. He experienced many times of hardship, but he trusted God with radical faith. And in these poems, David shares his fears, confesses his failures, and offers thanks to his Redeemer. And he's constantly speaking of a deep longing to be in God's presence in the temple.
But wait, David lived before the temple was even built.
Exactly. This portrait of David, hoping and praying for God's kingdom and a future temple, it resembles the hopes of the later generations of the exiles. And so, David's prayers could become theirs as well.
David's like a prayer coach, giving us words for how to pray and how to discover God's presence in good times and bad.
Exactly. There are 73 poems connected to David, but most of the rest come from later generations of biblical poets, and they have learned to pray and hope like David. And so the end result is the Book of Psalms, designed as a virtual temple for all generations of God's people.
This isn't a kind of book you just read once and put down.
No, it's designed for a lifetime of slow rereading and reflection. These prayers and laments and songs of praise are meant to become our own. They're poems for exiles who are learning to live by God's wisdom and to seek God's justice in the world as they hope for the coming Messiah and the kingdom of God.
Okay. So that really comes from a series of videos called The Bible Project. Highly encourage all of us to check those out. Esos son unos videos que se llaman El Proyecto de la Biblia o Bible Project. You can find them online on YouTube, and I'm sure they have many resources on their website as well. They have really just an explanation of and a breakdown of all different books in the Bible. So everyone's encouraged to go ahead and take a look at that. But now together, as a community, we're going to actually do the work. We're going to reflect and meditate on Psalm chapter 8. I'll share a few words, and then we'll open up sharing within our church community as well. But if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to Psalm chapter 8. Si tienen sus Biblias, vamos a abrir la Escritura, Salmo capítulo 8. And I'll read the passage first in Spanish, and then in English, and then we will reflect on a few key things from the passage. Salmo capítulo 8. Oh Señor, soberano nuestro, qué imponente es tu nombre en toda la tierra. Has puesto tu gloria sobre los cielos por causa de tus adversarios. Has hecho que brote la alabanza de labios de los pequeñitos y de los niños de pecho para silenciar al enemigo y al rebelde. Cuando contemplo tus cielos, obra de tus dedos, la luna y las estrellas que allí fijaste, me pregunto, ¿qué es el hombre para que en él pienses? ¿Qué es el ser humano para que lo tomes en cuenta? Pues lo hiciste poco menos que Dios, y lo coronaste de gloria y de honra. Let's read now together Psalm chapter 8. It should be in the, if we can cue it up in the projector right behind me, please. Psalm chapter 8, the scripture, if we can put it up. And Psalm chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Let's hear now with open ears from the Word of God. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers or the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God. Amen. So the Psalms are God's songbook. Los Salmos son las canciones de Dios. At the heart of the Bible, we find the heart of God found in the Psalms. That's why in June, we're taking this time to refocus and to be refreshed through the Psalms. Some of us are coming through seasons, through a spring that was very challenging or that felt very overwhelming. So this month of June, we're really taking a time to just refocus and to be refreshed by the songs of God that we find in the book of Psalms. In this passage, we read about a song that David sang. Aquí leemos un salmo del rey David. Now, before we talk about this psalm, let's take a moment to pause and talk about David. Who exactly was David? Well, the Bible actually refers to David as a man after God's own heart. In fact, David wrote the majority of the Psalms. El rey David escribió la mayoría de los Salmos. In fact, as the video said, 73 of the Psalms are written by David, and the rest are written by other biblical poets. One thing that the Bible doesn't try to hide is the fact that although David was a man after God's own heart, David was not a perfect man. And in fact, David messed up a lot. El rey David no era perfecto. And I love how the Bible doesn't try to hide this or try to beat around the bush, but it tells us the truth about who David was in order to lift up the truth of who God was to David. One thing that David held on to, even though he wasn't perfect, is David held on and trusted the living God. David held on and to the God that would never let go of him. David served as the second king of the ancient people of Israel that we read about in the Old Testament. And we see in the scriptures that he experienced many times of hardship, but one thing he did is he trusted in God with a radical faith. David trusted in God with what can be called a no matter what kind of faith. That no matter what happens, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust in the living God. And in fact, in the Bible, we can read a lot about the whole life of David. En la Biblia podemos leer de la vida del rey David. It begins in 1 Samuel when he's a young boy. And we see him grow up and even become the second king of the people of Israel. And we see him in his ups and his downs. And we see him even on his deathbed as he dies and gives his final words to his son Solomon as an old man. So in the Bible, we actually can read about the entire life of King David. En la Biblia podemos leer de toda la vida del rey David. In 1 and 2 Samuel, in the Psalms, in the book of Chronicles, we read about the life of this man. This man who holds on to this no matter what kind of faith. In the Psalms, David shares his fears. He confesses his failures. And he gives praises and thanks to God in the highs and in the lows of life. Vemos en los Salmos todas las emociones. We see through the Psalms that David, as the video says, David serves as a prayer coach. A prayer coach that can give us words for how to pray. That can give us a way to discover the presence of God in the good times and in the bad times. So what does that mean? That in those times where we have no words, those seasons where we only have tears, or those seasons where we only have confusion, or where we only have unanswered question, one thing that we do have is the Psalms. We have the Psalms that we can pray through and we can live by. When we are speechless, the Psalms give us words for how to pray and how to enter into God's presence.
Cuando no tenemos palabras, los Salmos nos dan palabras para poder orar y entrar a la presencia de Dios.
So let's pause and ask ourselves for a second. Why exactly do we as a community, why do we gather around songs? And why is it that this book of Psalms, which is the book with the most chapters than any other book in the Bible, why is it filled with just a lot of songs? That's very unique.
¿Por qué están tan importantes estas canciones?
Even when we're worshiping, sometimes, especially if we're not as familiar with church or we're still kind of getting used to all of this, we can look around and we can ask ourselves, why are we even doing this? Why are we all just standing up and singing together? That's not something we do in most other places. At work, we don't just stand up and start singing with our coworkers, right? Unless you have a really fun and exciting job. But here, we do that. Because something mysterious happens when we sing to God.
Algo misterioso ocurre cuando cantamos canciones a Dios.
In the worship service, God gathers us, the people of God, and this is an event where the Holy Spirit makes us new, where the Holy Spirit transforms us.
Este es un evento donde el Espíritu Santo nos transforma.
The Holy Spirit transforms us through prayer, through preaching of the gospel, and through praising and lifting up songs to God. Praises are made up of songs. Most of the Psalms are made up of poems and songs as well. David in Psalm 8 is singing a song of praise.
En Salmo capítulo 8, el rey David está cantando una canción de alabanza.
Now, to enter into a song is to enter into a story. Every song has a story and a history behind it.
Cada canción tiene una historia.
One thing we got to do this week that I'm very grateful for is on Thursday night, we actually got to go to a worship concert. We took our worship team and we appreciated them for all the hard work that they do. It's something that we don't take for granted. You know, our worship team, led by Marcus and the rest of the group, Danny, David, Liz, we appreciate you and we love you and we care for you. Because you work hard every single week to help bring us and enter us into the presence of God. We don't take that for granted. And even the people working in the back through slides and through sound, all of that matters. And so this last week, we took some time to appreciate the worship team. And we went to have dinner over in Fresno. And then we went to a worship concert over at the Save Mart Center. And it was really neat to see the band, who's a very popular worship band called Hillsong, who wrote many of the songs that churches around the world sing. But one thing that they shared before each song began is they would share the story of each song. And we got to realize that behind every song, there was a story. There was a bigger story. And friends, the Psalms invite us to the same thing. The Psalms invite us into this greater story, this bigger story of God.
Los Salmos nos invitan a una historia más grande.
Just as David was singing a song of praise back then, today our great King Jesus is inviting us to sing a song of praise, to sing a song and lift it up, a song of worship to the living Lord, in response of His great love for us. So what does it look like for us today? What does it look like for us to join the chorus and to sing? To sing the songs that the Psalms invite us into.
¿Cómo podemos cantar las canciones que Dios nos invita a cantar por medio de los Salmos?
How can we sing these songs? What does it take to be part of the choir and the chorus? Well, the good news is that it doesn't take
vocal lessons. I'm so glad. Because if that was the case, I probably wouldn't make the case. You know, I sing with all my heart, but I'm not the most gifted singer. And I thank the Lord that in order to sing this great song that God invites us into, it doesn't require vocal lessons. But we get in tune with this song when we come to trust God. When we come to trust God more than we do in ourselves, more than we do in people, more than we do in outcomes. And remember, as we've talked about in the past here at Imago Church, trusting God, that is the application of faith. Cuando confiamos en Dios, eso es aplicar nuestra fe. Trusting the Creator above anything created. This is how we get in tune with the great song that the Psalms invite us into. This is how we can sing along what it says in verse 3. How we can sing the words, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." When we trust in God, when we trust in the Creator above anything created, that is how we can sing this song with our whole hearts. So in our worship services, we have a praise team to help lead us into this time of joyful praise. And when we worship, we do a few things, right? When we worship, we express our trust in God and we also are vulnerable before God. Cuando alabamos a Dios, somos vulnerables antes de Dios. And I know that right now, this can be a season for all of us, especially in the month of June as we're reflecting on worship and reflecting on the Psalms. This can be a season for each one of us to ask ourselves, what's my next level in worship? ¿Cuál es mi próximo nivel en la adoración a Dios? Now I know that for some of us, that next level can look different ways, depending on our personality, on our character, on our experiences. For some of us, we find it very easy to just let go during worship and to give in to the moment and to the energy and the excitement and the emotion. All of those things are from God. But maybe for you, in this season, the next level of worship is actually meditating and reflecting on the words that we're singing, and really living into the Psalms. For others, perhaps it's a lot easier to just reflect on the songs and to not really lift up our hands or give ourselves over into worship. We find it easy to maybe be a bit intellectual and to think deeply about all of the words that we're singing. Well, maybe for you in this season, the next level in worship is to lift up those hands, to surrender, to really enter into that time of praise during worship by just letting go. And there's different ways to do that. You know, we don't have to go all in immediately. We don't have to start here. We can begin with the T-Rex kind of worship, right? Just right here. That's what me and my friend used to call it. It can start here, right? T-Rex worship. And maybe no one will see you. And if they do, well, there we go, right? But what's the next level of worship for you? For some of us, it's letting go. For others, it's taking time to meditate together. And why are songs, why is worship so important to the heart of God? ¿Por qué es tan importante? ¿Por qué las canciones son tan importantes para Dios? Well, songs and psalms are so important to the heart of God because just as the South Sudanese poet Emmanuel Jah once said it, music is the only thing that can touch your heart without your permission. La música es la única cosa que puede tocar nuestro corazón sin nuestro permiso. Por eso son las canciones de Dios tan importantes. When we sing, when we worship, when we praise, that's a direct connection between our hearts and the heart of the living God. Praise is an invitation to trust God. La adoración es una invitación a confiar en Dios. The Psalms are songs of God's good news. There's songs of restoration. There's songs that the living Lord God invites us into. Dios nos invita a cantar y a vivir estos salmos. And here's another truth about the power of songs, about the power of music. The songs that we sing have the power to influence our lives like almost nothing else does. The songs that we sing will shape us into the people that we become. Friends, our God is a God of restoration. And to be restored means to be restoried and realigned and renewed. And when we're restored, we become restoried with God's story. That's what the Psalms are calling us to today. To realign and to restory ourselves with God's story. Los Salmos nos llaman a alinearnos con la historia de Dios. So today, along with trusting the Lord, this song of praise, these psalms invite us to be in awe, to be in wonder, and to just let go and worship. That's God's invitation through the Psalms. Esa es la invitación de Dios por medio de los salmos. So together, we're actually going to read this psalm. Juntos vamos a leer este salmo. So whatever it takes for you right now, to simply lean in, to let go, or to just meditate on the words of this precious psalm. Together as a community, we're going to read this psalm. Juntos como una comunidad vamos a leer este salmo. And you can follow along if your heart language is Spanish and you have your Bible in Spanish. You can read it in Spanish. Si gusta puede leer la escritura en español. But we're going to read it in English together. So if we can get the scripture up, we're going to read this psalm together as a community. And today we're just going to take a moment and in silent reflection, just reflect on what it is that God is inviting us into here together as a community. So we're at verse 1 there. Together, as one church and in one accord, let's prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to sing this psalm and to live this psalm. Vamos a prepararnos para leer este salmo juntos. Psalm chapter 8. And we're going to begin at verse 1 together. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Amen. Now we can just take a moment right where you are. Last week we took time to all share together, and I hope we have an opportunity to do that next week. But today, you can reflect on a few questions there right where you are, and you can journal about them either here or when you get back home. In reading this psalm, how can you pray this psalm, but also live this psalm? ¿Cómo podemos orar este salmo y también vivir este salmo? You can ask yourself, what does this psalm say about God? What does it say about the mind of God and the heart of God? What does this psalm say about people and God's love for people. And how does this psalm invite us into worship? To let go and surrender into worship. So that'll be something that we do together as a community to continue to sharpen one another. But one thing that we look at when we see the Psalms is that the Psalms are expressions of worship through prayer, through praise, and through poetry. And so each week we're actually doing a special together. Cada semana tenemos una especial juntos como una comunidad. And I'm actually going to invite Marcus and Liz to come forward, and they're going to lead us in today's special. It's bilingual. It's in English and in Spanish. And this is a psalm. This is a song of praise that they are singing together as a community. And this will be a time for us to reflect and meditate together. So Liz and Marcus, I want to invite you to go ahead and lead us in this song.
I just want to read you guys the first verse of the song. En español dice, levanto mis manos aunque no tenga fuerzas. Levanto mis manos aunque tenga mis problemas. And in English it translates to, I will lift up my hands, Lord, even though I am weary. I will lift up my hands, Lord, in the midst of the struggles. So for myself, when I look at this song, I actually grew up on this song too. Esa canción, cuando estaba chiquita, mi mamá siempre la ponía. Amen. Y para mí esta canción significa, aún todo lo que esté pasando en mi vida, lo que sea, los problemas, el Señor siempre está ahí, amén. Y aun cuando siento que no tenga fuerzas de adorar al Señor o orar o lo que sea, hay siempre que orar, amén. Porque el Señor es el único que nos puede dar esa paz, esa tranquilidad, amén. So what I'm saying is that despite anything that's going on, any frustration, anything that's going, what's happening through our lives, or whatever the case may be, that we should still worship God because He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy through it all.